Come on, put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Come on, we can do better than that. God has blessed us. Last week, He's keeping us this week. Hallelujah. Praise His name. What an awesome God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth are glory. What a mighty God we serve. Certainly, we thank God for navigating our niches and allowing us this privilege of being participatory in this place of praise one more time. And what a joy it is to be alive, alert, and active. For God has blessed us beyond enumeration and beyond our prayers, and we ought to be glad about it. Certainly, we thank God for our brother who stood, who's sharing this moment, this space with us as a visitor. I see he has an Alabama shirt on, and we're happy to have you today. Amen. And y'all, I'm going to tell y'all this before I do my greetings. I got a wonderful gift last week from some dear souls, and it was left in the office. And they told me to go by the office and get the gift. And I won't tell y'all who it is because I don't want you all badgering them. Wonderful gift. And I got to the office and I looked inside the bag, and it was a Mississippi State cowbell. I thought y'all would be excited. Amen. Amen. And I thought about, you know, when the coach does his interviews after the game, he has a Coca-Cola sitting on the podium. And I thought about coming out this moment today and preaching with that cowbell. Amen. Amen. But I was warned not to do that because you all are diehard Alabama fan, so I wanted y'all to get the word. Good to see you, Brother Thaddeus. Stand up, man. He's recovered from surgery. Good to see you today. Amen. Good to see you today. Amen. Come on, stand up, Brother Oliver. He's recovered from surgery. Amen. 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 Please remain in prayer for Deacon Green. And Deacon Robertson, Deacon Green is recovering from surgery. Deacon Robertson had pneumonia, if he doesn't have pneumonia now. But pray for them. Amen. So good to see all of you here today. It's good for us to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Certainly to these preachers, Reverend Skipper and Reverend McCoy, who's presiding, Reverend Wet Ryan and Reverend Walker. Do we have any more preachers? All right. All right. Good to have all of you here. And certainly thank God for this melodious singing choir. Come on, bless God for them. Amen. And Brother Eric and the musicians, what a time we're having in the Lord. Thank God for all of these deacons and trustees who have devoted us and blessed us in song, scripture, prayer. It's just good to be here. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. One more time. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm blessed to have my mother here. She's here every week. And amen. My wife comes to the 8 o'clock service. And they rotate because we have the little 7-month-old baby. And little Trinity Joy, and they rotate. One comes at 8 and the other at 10:30. So thank God for them. And thank God for this committee. Come on, bless God for this committee. Environmental Safety Committee. Amen. Listen, we have a way of registering, and Sister Pinky got up and shared with us what's coming. Not this Sunday, but the following, the second Sunday. You would have to register. Where's this first Sunday? All right, registering for the second Sunday. And so we don't want to be difficult, but listen, we do want to be safe. And it is our intentions to be safe and to keep you safe. That's why all of this is necessary. We know we have guidelines that we have to abide by that's handed down by the CDC. And governmental officials, and then we want you healthy.
We want God to be able to use you, and we don't want your health to be a problem. Listen, I want to recognize Ms. Hutchins. She funeralized her brother on last week. Come on, bless God for her presence here today. She drove down to the Montgomery area, to Mobile, and back, and she's here with us today. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Look at somebody and say, fitness for the fight. Look at another and say, fitness for the fight. Amen. On your way to your seat, bless the name of the Lord. Fitness for the fight. Recently, I was gripped and grabbed by the reality and realism of our day. The forces of immorality has launched an attack against the force of mortality. Wickedness has launched a campaign against righteousness. There is a moral and immoral war going on. It is Paul in this particular pericope that gives the answer to the cry of leaders and teachers who are in utter battlement and bewilderment. Pastors and teachers of the faith are asking the questions, why can't we solve the basic problems that plague our today? Why can't we understand ourselves? Why is it we seem so hopeless and helpless in changing the conditions of our church and communities? Why does the present generation have to fight the same fight previous generations have fought over and over again? Why is the world so chaotic and crazy and confused when it comes to morality? No moral instructions, no moral identity, no moral idea, no moral integrity, no moral incentive. It seems that the world is without morals. Paul discloses to us the very reason why the world is so confused and chaotic. Paul says that there is a spirit of disobedience. There's a spirit of disobedience. A spirit. That is not a flesh and blood issue. It's a spiritual issue. He says there's a spirit of disobedience, a spirit you cannot see, but you can see its effects. Because what you see in the flesh and blood is dictated by the spirit of disobedience. For he says it's not a flesh and blood issue, it's a spiritual issue. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word wrestle means to tangle with a force that has come up against us. In other words, there is a force of evil, a counterforce that we wrestle against. He is an evil nemesis, a wicked warrior, and he is reaping havoc in the earth. Paul says we wrestle.
That's right.
We tussle. Amen. We struggle. We contend with an evil nemesis, spiritual.
Yeah.
And he fights to keep us. He wants us discouraged and defeated. He fights against us to keep us from the very place and person who empowers us. We wrestle against. Come here. That's why it was hard for you to get here this morning. That's why Sunday is your most difficult day.
That's right.
You wake up early every day except Sunday without an alarm clock.
That's right.
But on Sunday, you struggle. And seemingly on Sunday, you don't have anything together. Your clothes are not together. You put them together during the week, but for some reason or another, when you wake up on Sunday, you have nothing together. Can't find your keys for your car. And when you find your keys, get in the car, there's something in the house you forgot. A spirit that just won't let you be on time. Wrestle. If any day your spouse acts up, he or she acts up on Sunday. Before you make it to the house of God, you got to argue, fuss, and fight, wrestle against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness. Everybody in here is in a fight, whether you want to be or not. You are fighting against the same enemy. And let me tell you now, the person that's sitting beside you on the pew is not the person. Now, sometimes that evil nemesis may act in that person, but it's not the person. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness and principalities and powers. Paul says we're fighting. And we're fighting, we're contending, we're tangling with, we're wrestling with an enemy. And he says, since you are fighting, there's several things you need to do. If you plan to be victorious, he says, number one If you're going to be a winner against the evil nemesis, you must position yourself in the power of God. Notice what he said in verse 10. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You need spiritual strength. Because this enemy you're fighting against, you can't defeat him with your own power. See, this enemy you're fighting against, you can't defeat him with cuss words. Come here, profanity. You can't defeat him with the 357 or 44, whatever kind of gun you have. You can't defeat him with a switchblade. And with physical dukes, it takes a power beyond your power. We're fighting. And Paul says we can't fight by our own strength. We need to be positioned in the power of the Lord. Be strong in the power of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The word be strong is present imperative, which denotes a command to do something in the future with continuous and repeated action. In other words, Paul is not commanding us to be strong and just be strong one time. He's commanding us to be strong and keep being strong. Listen, you can't afford a weak day. You can't afford a weak week. You can't afford a weak month. You can't afford a weak year. You need to be strong every day, every week, every month, every year, because the enemy is coming up against you and he's consistent. Be strong. It's a command to do something in the future with repeated and continuous action. The problem with most people is they only want to be strong when they feel they need to be strong. For instance, you only want to be strong when you're going through something hard and difficult, something you know that's beyond you. That's when you want to be strong. You want to be strong when you lose a loved one. You want to be strong when your children are misbehaving, or if your child or children receive some prison sentence. You want to be strong occasionally. But listen, Paul tells us not to be occasionally strong. We need to be strong all the time. Because one thing you don't know about the enemy is when he's going to show up. So you sitting cool, calm, collected in your own humble abode. You don't know Satan is about to knock at your door. And about to wreak havoc in your home and at your address. You sitting there watching the game, minding your own business. Just got out of a good service. And you think things are smooth. And things are good. And at the moment they may be. But Satan, he will knock at your address. Come in and turn your world upside down. See, that's why you need to be strong all the time. Because you don't know how he's going to show up and you don't know when he's going to show up. But one thing you do know is he's going to show up. Paul says, be strong. See, the key to being strong is being in the Lord. Here it is. The Greek preposition for in is en, which means fixation. That is not an occasional bumping and running into God. is to be permanently fixed in God. So what Paul is saying is that we need to be fixed in the Lord. And when you are fixed in the Lord, the longer you stay, the stronger you become. Listen, listen, listen. You've been saved for a while. And you ought to be stronger now than you were when you first got saved. And what bothered you then should not bother you now. See, people lying on you now shouldn't bother you like they lied on you then. People talking about you now shouldn't bother you like, you know, it did when they talked about you then. People trying to dig ditches for you now should not bother you like it did then, because you've been in God for some time. And the longer you're in God, the stronger. See, it's going to take something to get me now. Now, if you wanted to get me, you should have got me some years ago when I first got up and said I wanted to be saved. But now that I've been saved for over 20 some years, 30 years, yeah, listen, it's going to take something to get me now. It's going to take more than you lying on me. It's going to take more than you digging a ditch. It's going to take more than you cussing me out and rolling your eyes, because I'm strong in the Lord. The longer you stay, the stronger you become. And I'm stronger now than I've been. See, Paul says, be strong in the power of God. Be strong in the power of God. God gives us supernatural power to withstand natural life. He gives us power that's beyond the ordinary. He gives us power that supersedes all that life could throw our way. And so when we position ourselves in the power of God, he builds us within. He gives us character that produces strength, or character that's produced from strength. And see, you need character, because this strength and power that he gives us the ability to carry out his command. See, what Satan don't want you to do is obey. Because you are most like him when you are disobedient. And you are more like God when you obey. See, Satan wants you to think that what God has commanded you to do is so hard and you can't do it. And it's so beyond you. And listen, you know, hey, nobody's living right. Nobody's doing the right thing. So, hey, I'm not the only one. Hey, it's good. It's all good. Because, listen, when I look around, but he never told you to measure yourself up against people just like you. He told you to measure yourself up against Jesus Christ, the one who's the perfect model of what God's expectation and God's requirement is for us. And so when we look at the life of Jesus, he gives us supernatural power to obey even unto death. And Satan don't want you to obey. Therefore, he talks into your ear and tell you that your will is weak. See, weak wills don't obey. You can know what's right and not have the will to do what's right. And you're just a smart, disobedient person. Because you know. But when you know what's right and you have the power of will to do what's right, you are a force to reckon with. Somebody here can be a witness that Satan has thrown some stuff your way. And he's somewhere scratching his head trying to figure out why he can't get you. See, he see you, but he doesn't see the spirit in you. That there's a power in you that's greater than the enemy that's against you. He gives us strength and power to obey. And we are more like God when we obey. But we are more like Satan when we disobey. He doesn't want you to obey. Boy, if I had time to preach it, I would talk about how he give you all these excuses and you think you justified by blaming folk. That just if I had time to preach it. If I had time to preach it, I would talk about how we feel justified by trying to bring the word down to just to preach in the pulpit. But the word is powerful, more powerful than the preacher in the pulpit. That you say, well, I'm not going to do anything he say, but it's not the he in the pulpit, it's the he. If I had time. He gives us power. And he tells us to position ourselves in the power. Boy, I wish I could preach all of this. But he says, not only if you're going to be victorious, you need to be positioned in the power, but you need a perception of the pursuing personality. Who's really against you?
That's right.
Y'all just missed that.
That's right. See,
who's really against you? Paul said in verse 12, our enemies are not weak mortals. One writer said, our enemy is a spiritual mafia. It is a spiritual conflict against a spiritual mafia.
That's right.
Not flesh, but principalities. Rulers and magistrates, not flesh, but powers, evil powers who oppose Christ, not flesh, but rulers of the darkness, rulers of this world, evil spirits, not flesh, but spiritual wickedness in high places, malicious spirit. Who's evil and only desire is to wreak havoc. Jesus called him a thief.
That's right.
And says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan means you no good. Paul or Peter compares the enemy to a roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour. John the Revelator says that he's an accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12, verse 10. Who you really up against is not the person you see, but it's the spirit behind the evilness and the malicious intentions and activities and behavior of the people you see. That your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle. You remember when Jesus was on his way to the cross?
Yeah.
And Peter, he said, he tried to rebuke Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus, in rebuke, didn't rebuke Peter, but he rebuked the spirit that was in Peter.
Yeah.
He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Looking at Peter.
That's right.
And speaking to the spirit that made Peter open his mouth.
That's right.
And say what he said.
Amen.
See, you think you winning because you having cursing contests.
That's right.
Cuss me.
That's right.
I cussed them back. Satan just got you out your place.
That's right.
you think you're winning when you clutch your fists and grit your teeth? Satan just got you out your place. See, he wants to embarrass you and make you act out of character, because it's obvious you don't know who you're fighting against. He wants you to show up at work upset, mad enough to curse out the boss, lose your job and cry the rest of the week. And after the fact, you think about praying. Because the same week you do that, you get an unusual high light bill.
That's right.
I'm preaching, but y'all saying amen. See, he wants you to do that because he wants you to think you are fighting against flesh and blood. Now, watch this, and I'm finished. He says, have a perception of the pursuing personality. Position yourself in the power of God. But he says, prepare yourself for persecution. Verses 11 through 13. He gives a layout of the spiritual weapons that we need to have. Spiritual weapons. He talked about weapons. Weapons of defense and weapon of offense. And he gives more weapons of defense than he gives of offense. Because there's only one way God wants us to strike back. Hold that thought. Now, he gives weapons of defense. And he starts with the belt of truth. That if truth, God's truth, God's word, absolute truth is not in your life, and if it's not around you and holding you together, all the other weapons doesn't matter. See, the Christian life starts with truth. You can't be a Christian by lie.
That's right.
Now you may can be some of everything else by lie.
That's right.
But you cannot be a Christian
by lie.
That's right.
And it
starts with truth.
Yeah.
He says there's a belt of truth. God's truth. Absolute truth. And he says, with truth, we are not lost. With truth, we can stand against the stratagems of the devil and survive. You need truth. Listen, if I had time to preach it, you know, and I'm running out of time now, but let me tell you this. That's why you should pray that the preacher preach boldly. That's what Paul said here, because listen, this is one place you don't need somebody to tell you a lot of lies.
That's right.
Listen, you don't need to dress up, put on a little skunk oil, do your hair, come out and hear a lot of lies.
That's right.
You need truth. Even if it's cutting you. Even if it's confronting you. Even if it's in your face challenging you. You need truth. It starts with truth and then it goes to righteousness. Out of truth is born righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate was this armor that was worn around the chest and loin area.
Yeah.
He says righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. It covers the vitals. It keeps the enemy from attacking your heart. See, some of you are still hurting from heart hurt. Because you messed around and gave your heart to the wrong somebody. You were in the dating game, and instead of you having on a breastplate of righteousness, you went out there with nothing to protect you. And now you're looking at it from hindsight. You wish you would have. And so what Satan did was use that person to reach in there and get that heart because you had no heart protection. Snatched it out of you. Threw it down and...
That's right.
And you hadn't made it back from that yet.
Yeah.
Because you had no heart protection on.
That's right.
He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. Put on the standard of God around your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do what's right from the heart, God's way.
Yeah. That's right.
And he says, it will protect you. But not only does he deal with
I'm having trouble with the connection.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was the police over there. I thought you were at me, man. Amen. But listen, he says, do what is right. He says, cover your loins with the belt, your chest with the breastplate. But he says you need sandals on your feet. Because the terrain on the field is rugged and rough. And you can't stand as you should if you don't have the gospel of peace on your feet. See, you need to have your feet shod with the gospel of peace so you can step freely and without fear. But then he said, the shield of faith. The shield. Satan throwing at you. And he says, you need the shield to block the fiery darts. Not only do they puncture and pierce, but they burn. So when Satan hits you, he wants it to hurt. But God has given you some to shield you. And it's the shield of faith. Listen, faith shields you. And when the enemy is throwing at you, Faith blocks the darts. When the darts hit the shield, the fiery darts are put out in the shield. He gives us a shield. But then Paul said, that's the weapons of defense. You got, you know, your breastplate on and your belt and your shield and your helmet. So Satan don't get to your mind.
Right.
He says, but you got a sword.
That's right.
The only thing you got to strike back.
That's right.
Satan come against you.
Yeah.
Thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's going to get him off of you.
Yeah.
Satan comes at you.
Yeah.
You need book, chapter, and verse. Satan comes at you. You need your sword sharp. You need to know more than Jesus wept. Because if that's all you know, you're going to weep. But when you got the word in you, and you're able to say, no weapon formed against me is able to prosper. Do I have a witness? Is there anybody here who can be a witness this morning? That when you got the word of God on the inside of you, that Satan can't do you no harm. He will come up against you. But that's all.
you got the word of God on the inside of you. And the word of God tells me that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I thank God for the word, because the word is my weapon. I thank God for the word, because the word can push him out of my territory. When Satan comes up against me, I got my gear on and my heart is fixed and my mind is made up. For God I live, and for God I die. I'm going to stay on the battlefield, and I'm going to fight until the battle is won and the victory is pronounced. And I thank God for Jesus, because one Friday he went to a hill called Calvary, and Satan thought he had him defeated when he had him hung on the cross. But thank God for Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 long hours, 3 in the light and 3 in the darkness. He locked his head in the locks of his shoulders, and y'all know what he did. He died that Friday evening, but the ball game went over. Satan thought he had the victory. Sunday morning came early. Early Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. Power to hold you. Power to watch over you. Power to give you strength to run on. Power to heal your body. Power to wipe away your tears. You want to shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, I got power in the word of God, and I'm standing in Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone to your feet if you will. If you're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the wiles of Satan, you need to be positioned in the power of God. You need a perception of the pursuing personality. You need to prepare yourself for persecution, but you need to pray for the preacher. Let utterances be made boldly. You don't need a timid pastor, a timid preacher. You need somebody who will stand and tell you what thus said the Lord. Paul says we are wrestling, we are fighting, we are contending. Every last one of us in here. So when someone else is going through, don't laugh, because you are either in a battle, getting ready to go into a battle, or you're on your way out of one. You are on Satan's hit list. And your children are on his hit list. Your spouse is on his hit list. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. All we have, all we got, is the word. The word is power. It is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation means deliverance. You can't do it on your own, by your own strength. Stop allowing Satan to use you by coming down to his level.
If they curse you, you curse them. Stop that. It doesn't make them any better, and it doesn't make you any better either. Stop fighting with your fists. Fight with the word. Satan, come in your home. Pull out the Bible. Start reading. Start praying scripture. He's defeated by the word. Satan, come up against your children. Start having family time in the word. Sit everybody down and read from can to cake. You need word in you. And the more word you have in you, the stronger you are. I was reading the book by Blackaby some years ago. And one particular chapter talked about the memorization of word, of the word of God. And he says you need to memorize scripture. If you have 10 scripture, it's like walking around with a flashlight. You can see, but you can't see too far. He went on to say, if you memorize 100 verses, scriptures, it's like sitting in a car with headlights. You have a both dim and bright light. You can see farther. He says, but if you memorize 1,000 scripture, it's like sitting in a stadium with lights at all times. Satan don't want you to be light. He wants you to be dark. Settle yourself in the word of God. Position yourself in God so you can be strong. You need a perception of the pursuing personality so you'll respond appropriately to people and their negativity. And you need to prepare yourself for persecution. Satan is against you. Stop crying and whining and bickering and complaining about that. You've been a Christian for 20 and 30 years. But you think Satan just started at you. He's been at you all the time. The moment you gave your life to Christ, you became an enemy of Satan. And as the church of old would say, we're going to tear his kingdom down. We're going to pray it down and read it down and preach it down. And we have the victory in Christ Jesus. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here quickly and you need to be saved, come give the Lord your heart. Give him your soul. If you can believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was sent from God to die in your place for your sin. He did die. He was buried. He was raised the third day. The Bible says if you can believe that in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you're saved. Secondly, if you're here, you need to be restored. Listen, the Lord is able to restore you, re-energize you. Life is tough from Sunday to Sunday. Life is tough. And Satan does all he can to zap you of your spiritual energy. But God can restore you. Come today if you need to be restored. Thirdly, if you're here and you need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on today. Come on. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. You only have today. Come on. Listen, everyone, to your feet if you will, as we make ready to go. Listen, you can give on your way out. Father in heaven, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, and hearts have received. We thank you for your word that has both confronted, convicted, challenged to convert us from our ways. That we'll be more like your son. The longer we are in you, the stronger we become as your people. And Lord, we want to be strong because we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. But Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. Cover us now. Protect us with your word and protect us with your grace and your mercy. Lord, bless every giver that gives with the spirit of obedience. Open the window of heaven, pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. Rebuke the devourer for their sake. Lord, we thank you for every gift you give, every opportunity you give unto us to magnify your name, to elevate your name, and to give you glory. Now, Father, as we make ready to leave this place, we pray for traveling grace and mercies. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us, lead and guide us from this mountain. Lord, we pray that your love will be with us and stand by us, never leave us alone until we meet again, or until we meet in that place where there be no need for the H-U-N to shine, but the S-O-N will be the light thereof. That great place that you have prepared for us in the sweet by and by, when all of the saints of God go gathering home, where there is a precious city that has your powerful presence and a tree that heals the nations and a river that's pure, streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, that precious city. Until we make it to that wonderful place, Father, watch over us and keep us. Bless us is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace. Brother Jesse is coming to give us instruction.